What's up, After Buzzers? We told you we'd be back. We did a doubleheader tonight. We're doing episode 4. And you guys won't want to miss this because we have a very, very special guest in studio right now. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's a little bit slower. Idalia, you want to introduce this song for me? Who is this?
Yes, this is Luz Elena Mendoza, and she also sang the cover of the song you just heard on this episode.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
The Spanish version of Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Which was amazing. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. You obviously now know who our special guest is. It's Isabella Vargas right here.
Wait, what camera do I look at?
Whichever one you like. This one or this one?
I'm a professional, I swear. Oh my gosh.
So this is episode 4, guys. La Fuerza. Did I say that right?
Sí.
I did. Yes. Thank you so much. And this episode was intense. We went from Europe to South.
Right.
Back to the South.
We went to Arizona, baby.
We're Arizona. I can pull out that accent, though.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, there it is.
Got that accent, though. Standoff, Teresa is trying to find a whole new team because we obviously know she has more enemies than allies right now at this point. But thank you so much for joining us. My name is Candace Cruz, and we have a lovely panel with us this evening. Our lovely guest here, Miss Idalia Valles.
She's got the wave.
Yes, the pageant wave. You got the pageant wave.
You really did just come from London.
I just came back from London, so I'm just like my inner queen.
Are you still in that time zone too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right now I'm like sleeping.
It's tomorrow already at this point.
I'm Jorge Payo. I'm here. Yeah, I'm good.
You're on LA time zone,
though. I'm on LA time.
Okay, so you're good?
Yeah.
So you have no excuse for being tired right now?
I have no excuse for being tired, except that I burned the candle at both ends like a good Latino does.
Yes.
Yes.
Power, strength, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to be the king.
You'll be the
king of the West.
I am the Capricorn king, mommy.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me.
Well, I mean, starting off with Teresa, she finally found her place, which we had kind of predicted last episode that she'd go back to the States, because where else are you going to go?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just burned all your bridges over in Europe.
Yeah, but she's found a new state, going to Arizona now and dealing with a whole another conglomerate of cartel members that she's got to deal with. Huh?
Well, James got a sweet setup, though. He used his money well.
Yeah.
And I just love how positive Teresa has stayed for like 3 seasons. Mm. Like, everyone just shuts her down, and she's just like, oh, no, it's okay. We're good.
Yeah. We'll make it. Don't worry about it.
Well, she's smart.
We'll keep aiming super high.
Yes, like, exactly.
James, the whole episode was just like, oh, really? You just said that? You just did that?
I have to fast forward, though, for just a second, because I loved when she was having the meeting, and he tried to chime in, and he goes, shh.
Yeah.
To James, it was the best moment I've ever seen. I loved it.
Yeah.
He just did not know what to do to just swallow the pride of, like,
okay.
Okay, sure.
No, you take over. That's fine. I'll just sit here and look pretty, I guess.
I mean, he does a great job at doing that, so he's fine on that one.
We all know your team, James.
Yes. I mean, what can I say? I mean, you know, it's fine. But back to the actual action of what we were talking. Getting me all flustered here, Jorge. Okay? You can't do that to me. You're probably feeling very awkward right now.
He's like, no.
La Comisión is, am I saying that right as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fantastic. I'm 2 for 2, guys.
Right on.
I've got a little foursome going on. Now we've got Becas, and who are the other 3? Did we catch the names? There we go.
Those are the only 2 that were mentioned by name.
And the other 2 just kind of sat in the shadows.
Yeah.
But they've got a stronghold on Arizona, and they're divided up into 4s.
Right, but the strongest are Pecas and Taza.
Yes.
But Pecas is the,
like, the ringleader, it seems. From the way he's kind of leading the whole.
Well, it's that evil red hair. You know, I never trust anybody with red hair.
I mean, he was great. He's the one that did the shh, and I loved it. He was fantastic. But I loved seeing Teresa, like, actually do her negotiations and go through that and kind of exude that power. She's finally coming into her own when it comes to, like, business deals, I feel like.
Yeah. She's always had it in her, but now there's no one stopping her.
Exactly.
From that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she's always been very pragmatic. You know, she, like, she's like, oh, I know what these guys need. They need to get rid of this shifty sheriff that they got working. That's like, that's abusing his own people on top of it all.
I do something for you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back.
You're not connected. Yeah. You can't touch him because you have deals with him already. I'm not connected. I'll take care of it. Smart.
Well, that sheriff, I just really wanted her to do something more than she actually did to him.
Well, yeah.
Especially in this, I mean, kudos to the writers, because you guys shot this a while back, right?
Yes, we did.
So for it to be so prevalent and to be so current of what the time and the climate is to have this type of villain was just very telling. I love when art imitates life or vice versa.
Well, we probably shot this episode like February or March, somewhere around there. But yeah, just seeing that and seeing how the officer behaves, that's real life. And it's, it was just so cringeworthy to see, because I mean, we hear these stories, but actually like seeing it go through, it's just so sad.
Well, there's a sheriff that was being talked about being pardoned. The one that was abusive to illegals a while ago. Was that, and that was in Arizona too, wasn't it?
I'm not sure about that one. We would have to fact check that one, but I just feel like it's so sad because we see this and it gets really popular in the media for a few minutes and people forget about it. Or there's not faces and names. They just know them as immigrants or illegals or aliens or whatever names that they want to call them. And they're forgetting that they're human. So I think that they did a great job of like humanizing the situation and allowing people to really see like some of the stuff that does happen.
What did you guys think of the moment where they were humanizing the sheriff for just a moment? And he was just like, yeah, when I was a kid, I was beat up by a lot of white kids. I'm trying to do that guy a favor. I didn't buy it. I'm sorry. I was like, I still don't like you.
I think there are a lot of people like him, though.
Yeah.
Which is the sad part. So I think it's not necessarily humanizing. It's more of just showing the truth.
Yeah. Like we were just talking about how maybe growing up, a lot of Latino kids that I went to school with or that I know didn't learn to speak Spanish because their parents didn't let them or because they just didn't want...
They wanted them to assimilate, assimilate into into so the culture.
It's just so real life.
I think especially in our generation, is because a lot of our parents were coming in and it was looked down upon, or came from a family where they had migrated in and they really just wanted to be like the American dream, wanted to be completely assimilated. I know my grandparents spoke Spanish only and then learned English. People that taught them English though made fun of them. And did all of that. So then my dad inherited that. And he was like, no, you're not going to learn. Like, you can't have an accent. You can't do this. So it's just very interesting to see all the different stories. And Sheriff Mayo, I'm sure, is like one of the stories that is out there. But, I mean, it was rough watching all of that. And I really liked the way that they dealt with the storyline, though. Because, I mean.
So intense. Every moment. You know, hold out that pen. Dude, put the pen down. Why are you hold what?
Ooh, we're jumping really far. You just get so excited. I love it. You're like, I want to jump to the end. Let's just go all the way.
I just get in there. I'm like, what? These things just touch me. They touch me right now.
What's crazy about seeing the show, which I see the show at the same time that everyone in LA sees it. I don't see it beforehand. But I've read the script, and I've read the script like 100 times, and I was there filming it. But still, seeing the show, I'm just like, oh my god, that just happened. I can't believe that happened. No, I don't want to look. And I'm just like, wait, I know it's going to happen, but it's just so different from seeing it on the paper and then seeing it come to life. It's insane.
I loved your reaction, and I know we're jumping really far ahead now, but at the memorial, you watching it and seeing your reaction to what actually happened, but you were the one that actually picked up. I was dying. I was like, she did this, though. I feel like she's, like, disassociating for a second here. She was so shocked. It wasn't even like a, oh, yeah. It was like a, oh, my God, that really just happened.
She's like, Mom. Oh, yeah.
Now I remember. Yes. She's still alive. She's going to make it through all 13 episodes. It's fine.
It was a double that didn't compare.
Well, what is it like watching yourself back, actually?
You know what? The first season... It was, I guess, as all actors are, just like, just weird. Second season, I fully tried to remove myself and just like enjoy it as a show, not as like me watching myself. And now third season, it's just normal. I'm just like, oh, cool, hey.
Clearly, I mean, you really didn't know what was going to happen.
You were so invested. It was great.
It was great. Her reactions were fantastic. I was like, if she's entertained, she already shot it and saw it all. You know that everybody else is really entertained. But I loved bringing back Kellyanne, and we finally got to see a couple other characters that we missed
for
a little
bit. Her character is such a ray of sunshine within all the darkness. She's so funny. I mean, so spoiled then, and you know, but she's just so funny. She just ran with her character.
Her going down the stairs. Oh, those stairs, though. Whew, they wear you out.
I want a hug. Okay.
Or like, oh,
not a hugger. Oh, no. Okay. All right.
My name's Priscilla now. But that's okay.
Hi, Molly. Love you.
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. To see her last season and like really own her power at the end, and then to see her like as a character fully recover and have made a life for herself and is like re-embracing who she was and who she could have been without that husband of hers that was evil.
Right, because the last time we saw her, she was on the run for her life, right? In total fear.
And that's what's so cool about this show. It's just like women starting over and getting their crap together and being strong and like being independent. You know, no matter what life knocks you down, you get up.
I mean, she just brokered millions of dollars of a deal for that winery that they are now using to house everything.
Ah, so now she's like a real estate agent. She's got like a whole new life.
She has a whole new witness protection. What was her new name? Is Priscilla?
Her new name is Priscilla.
Yes, because she's witness protection. Right. Correct.
Tony's in it playing soccer. He's on a soccer team. Aww. How sweet is that?
And he's all grown up.
He's all grown up.
He's so cute. And I love that she took him under his her wing and is now raising him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so at least they have each other. That's nice. But where are they? I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out now.
What are you trying to figure out? Help me help you.
All right. So is Kellyanne and Tony in Arizona?
Seems like it. They are putting
They're just keeping Tony away from seeing Teresa because that would put him in danger. Okay, cool. All right.
I didn't have to help you.
You didn't need to
help me. Nope, you got it. You figured it out.
I figured it out. Thank you. Yeah. I'm in first grade.
Oh, my God. Good job. Well, I'm interested to see where all of this goes, and I think we'll talk about a little bit more predictions. Now that Teresa has her building, and they're wanting to... She started talking a little bit about Ivan and bringing him onto the team.
Right,
the black and market. And doing the black market and doing, like, delivering cocaine.
I love how, like, high-tech this show is and how real. Like, I'm sure that's a real thing, black market, cocaine selling. I mean, I wouldn't know. But I'm sure that's like happening now. So
Bitcoin and like the different like
the
money currencies, is huge.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah.
Well, you know that you can now go buy like certain cars with Bitcoin rather than actual cash. Mm-hmm. I think it's like it's not a Tesla, but it's one of those like either Maserati or Tesla or something. You can actually go in and literally just exchange Bitcoin in order to purchase the car. If anyone in the comments can let me know what car that is. Let me know because I know that is a thing. I talked to a friend of mine that deals with all the currencies, and he's like, you could go in and just trade it in.
That's insane to me.
Nuts.
Which is the way of the future. So clearly, Teresa is like smart and innovative. She's like super far in advance.
Yeah, that's her gift. She's got
a website being built. She's going to be selling mail order cocaine. Sure, why not?
Sure, just deliver it to your door. No problem. Yes. Yeah, her hands aren't dirty.
Sounds a lot easier than trying to, like, transport it via, you know, drones across the desert like they did last...
Well, it still has to be delivered.
Right.
So mail order delivery still has to be delivered.
Is it going to be like Amazon packages then?
You never know. Right? They put it in the ice pack, like have the dry ice around it and just put it...
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
You never know. Writers, you should put that in Amazon. Partner up with Queen of the South. There you go. Done deal. Easy. Product placement. But so Teresa is now proving herself. And to see her like even strategize with Ivan and get the video... for the sheriff and try and like undermine him. Now we're up to your part with the pin and the sword. Do you want to take it from here?
Oh man, that poor little reporter guy.
He was just doing his job. He was doing a great job.
Trying to figure out, like, you know, why you got to be so tough on the people, man.
Yeah.
Take it easy. And well, he did the wrong thing by calling the sheriff.
Yeah, that's very.
That was just like, come on.
Yeah. What's crazy is that, I mean, this happens all the time. Mm-hmm. There was a news reporter on Twitter that she was talking about the cartel and she got killed and they hacked her phone and they put it on Twitter like, this is what happens when you do this to us. So it's just like, But this happens in real life.
Yeah. All right. So oh my God, no. How many? So a lot of the stories that the writers do for the episodes, they're pulling from actual news. Out of
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you'll ask Jorge when he comes. Yeah. Okay. One of the writers. I don't know how they do the storylines or anything. But what's crazy about this is that they made such a big deal about James trying to be clean and mm-hmm. how he wants to do business like Teresa, and then they get him killed. It's just like they can never win when it comes to drugs and cartel.
Well, no, and I mean, it's never a winning business. They're never going to be completely clean. But to see the way that bothers me so much is that the sheriff, and it not even just being him, it's like a person in power that's manipulating their power. And the entire time that scene was happening, I'm like, this guy's going to get away with it scot-free.
Yeah.
Completely. He's the person in power. He's going to cover it up. He's going to make James bury the body. Mm-hmm. And that's it. He gets off.
Yeah. And he did it. Kudos to the actor that played the sheriff, too. He was just so cool the entire way. And like you can feel the evil permeate through the television set off of him. It was just like people who are that mean who are that evil don't need to like act evil.
But they're narcissists. They know that they think that they're in the right.
Yeah,
very clearly. So you don't
always
think they're
doing everything for good.
Of course,
the character always chooses good. So in his brain, it's good.
It was good.
Oh yeah, he said himself, he is his own people.
Yeah.
Which was fascinating to see that interaction. I was hoping that they would have some type of like conversation so we learn a little bit more about the sheriff and mm-hmm. his interaction with Teresa, but like him talking about being bullied as a young child and like not identifying with his people. He has no people. But why do you have to have such a heavy hand in order to like prove a point is what I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, why did he feel so convicted to do it that way?
I mean, because he was traumatized.
Yeah.
Resentment. I mean, he's resentful. I mean, he sounds like he's self-hating, if anything. Mm. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are, like, self-hating of being from where they're from. I mean, he claims being from Arizona State, from this county. This is where I'm from, right? He's not from anywhere else.
Through and through American.
Yeah, through and through.
Yeah.
You know, there is a certain ownership of that he had.
So. Yeah. But I did like the rub at the end after, obviously. Mm-hmm. The punchline that Pekka's told us
was the best.
Would you like to tell us what it was? Do you remember? No. You're like, I don't remember. No, I'm still on London time.
Oh, it was an illegal that found the body.
He's there, like, you go.
He didn't even let me say the punchline. It was an illegal that found. Yeah.
Oh, Pekka's is so a trip. Pekka's is going to be fun this season, isn't it?
I wonder how long he'll be in this season because of the whole phone conversation that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought that, I mean, jumping into that one, I thought that Teresa had like poisoned the wine at that point. I was like,
really?
I don't know why. The way that
she's the queen of the South, not the black world.
I know. But like the way that she turned with the wine, like I think it was more like the cinematography of it. I was like, they're going to do something. She's going to do something to him. Like the way that they were like having their conversation and talking about it behind his back, and then the shot of him over the shoulder, I was like, she's gonna do something. I don't know what she's gonna do, but she's gonna do something.
Wow, Queen of the South has really like blackened your brain.
Clearly. I'm like the worst.
You are so dark.
No one gets out alive.
I really do. I say that Queen of the South is like the Game of Thrones in the of the cartel world.
Oh, totally. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Oh, totally, because everybody's playing their own game, and then you don't know who is on whose side at any given moment.
Yeah.
Right? But you're rooting for everybody at the same time.
We were talking about it last...
Why am I rooting for so many... Why am I rooting for drug dealers?
Last episode, we were like, why are we rooting against the DEA agent? Like, we're literally like, don't catch them. They're just trying to make an honest living.
I mean, come on.
Don't get rid of them. What are you doing?
That's so funny. I love how everyone roots for Camilla, my mom, on the show. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, the most not evil character, but she does the worst things. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, she just killed someone. It's fine.
It's fine.
We love her. She's awesome.
Hopping onto that storyline, though. Ooh.
Juicy.
That's the juicy one. All the twists and turns.
How amazing is she? Like,
oh, God, yeah.
She is such a bad... Boop. See, yeah, I did it again this time. I got to beat myself, but I really want to say the word because that's what she is.
She is a bad...
She's boop. A definition of Veronica. And I just want to quote her. We were just doing an interview And I was telling her, like, oh, yeah, 30 is, or 50 is the new 30. And she was like, no, 50 is the new 50. And I was like, yes!
All right.
Yes, queen!
Yeah.
Yes!
She, like, owns it. And she makes me so excited to be mature and get older. She puts such a sexy, positive vibe on becoming your age and, like, owning it.
Which is a huge thing in Hollywood. And I think that that's amazing that we're going that way where ageism isn't as much of a thing anymore. And that she is one of those people that are, like, leading the path with that.
Yeah, she's erasing the line for the stereotype of what women, who should they be with, what age they should be with, everything. Right. Like in this episode, we saw some juicy stuff.
That was some really juicy stuff.
Little May, December romance going on in there.
Just got a little steamy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sip my water.
So I know, I think it's super cool that people don't have to like... Like, we were always used to older men dating younger women, but if a woman does it, it's crazy, it's insane, she's crazy, and now it's just like, no, it's normal. It's
now,
just,
we've been made, not for nothing, we've been made so used to older men with younger women that at some point it's just really ridiculous in some movies. I mean, you watch some movies and you're like, that guy is 60 and she's 22. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't work. But this little... You know,
this
DEA
is great.
Little
works.
Queen.
This works.
Man, that worked. That worked for me.
I mean, I just love her power that she stands in. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like indicative of this entire show, that the women get to stand in their power in whatever element that is. Like even your character is starting to come into her own power and like really kind of trying to navigate her way as an adult and figuring out her place in this family.
Yeah.
What has that journey been like for you throughout the few seasons, because you were high school the first two seasons and now you're graduated, you're engaged. Like, has the journey been really interesting for you with Isabella?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, I really care about Isabella and she's seen so much that a normal teenager wouldn't see. So she has to mature. Mm-hmm. It's like fight or flight.
Yeah. Trial by fire.
Yeah.
A lot of it,
and,
too.
And, I mean, she has the best example in front of her, her mom and her dad, as she found out last season. So I think she's really coming into her own, and she's like, Daki soy, and I'm going to become a drug dealer like my mother.
Has the death of her father hardened her, you think?
Yeah,
because it seemed like in the first couple seasons that you were a little bit more of a ray of hope, a ray of sunshine, and for something different for the family. You wanted something different for the family, and so now this is she's becoming a little harder. Or
I think the Vargas family in general, we don't process emotion as openly, even though I cry like every episode. But what I'm saying is, like, I feel like Isabella is trying to put her best foot forward and trying to be as powerful as she can to try to mirror her mom. And I think that's how she's going to get over her dad's death. It's just mirroring her mom, being like her mom.
Right.
Because that's all she has now.
Right.
And it's the first time that you see her have a relationship with her mom, because for the past two seasons, she really hasn't.
Yeah, you were more where you were living with your father.
With my father, yeah.
And you probably try to emulate him more because because he was at the moment trying to go legit, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's been really fun. It's been so cool to just like grow up with her. And I was just watching this past episode, and there was like one point where my eyes looked so dark and evil, and I was like, oh my god, that really just I like freaked myself out. I'm like really not that dark and evil in real life. So, yeah, it's just...
No, you seem like a sweetheart. I don't believe...
Yeah. No, but, I really,
but on the show, however...
I really do, like, care for Isabella, and I really do think she's trying to do her best to survive in this crazy world.
What about her relationship with Kike? How's, I mean, is that, like, real love?
Or, yeah, of course. I mean, especially when you go through something so traumatic like that, it just, like, bonds you even more.
Especially young love. I feel like that's, like, one of the most passionate types of love that you'll have until you find that one person you spend the rest of your life with. I feel like the first, like, love is, like, the most passionate. Uh-huh. And for you to have gone through that experience with him, and then on top of it being your first love, it's like, seal the deal. Done. Yeah. There you go. You have to. Do you think... And maybe you can't answer me, but we'll see.
Don't get me in trouble.
We do have 13 episodes. Do you think that she will end up running the cartel for her mother one day?
Oh my gosh, she's trying to get me in trouble.
Ooh, guys, that's a spoiler. No, I'm just kidding.
I can't say.
Oh, dang it.
I'm going to be super quiet because I tend to like want to say things that I shouldn't, so I'm just going to like pass on a lot of questions.
What's your biggest hope for Isabella then? Doesn't have to be like ambition-wise, but just in general terms.
Mm-hmm. My biggest hope is that she's just in peace, at peace with herself, in her inside.
Do you feel like she's not having that right now in these few episodes?
Oh, of course not. I mean, she's so crazy about trying to kill Teresa.
Yeah.
That's all she's thinking about all day, every day. She's like, I need her dead. I need this bitch dead.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her either. Yeah. She killed her poppy right in front of her eyes. Mm-hmm. What? All right. Without giving anything away.
Oh, go.
What would Isabella say to Teresa if she were like right in front of her?
Boy, she would not say anything. She would just kill her.
Right, straight up. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Not even.
That's when you're going to see the hardening right there in the eyes. That's when you've got dark eyes.
Okay.
Boom. Done. Oh.
That's what I'm talking about. If you're going to kill somebody, don't talk about it. Just do it.
Don't do a standoff.
Don't do a James Teresa last season.
Right? But if he wanted to kill her, he would have killed her. Yeah. He could have killed her.
His famous line, I could have killed you if I wanted to.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. She's getting flustered again.
Stop it, guys. Okay, back out. Anyways, back to Camilla and Loya, because that's another steamy scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, kind of talking like where we went off on our little tangent, though, is that we predicted this to happen.
Yes, we did.
That Camila found some love in someone else.
Mm-hmm. You're so good at predictions.
I know.
We talked about it in the last episode. We're like, I can't, but I want to, but I can't, but I want to.
But the fire between both of them, like, kudos to both of them and their performances, because it was foreshadowing enough that they didn't have to overly emphasize it.
Right.
Like, the tension was there, and that's something that you can't, like, construct. You have to just, like, have it.
That's what's so cool about being on a season three of a show is that we know each other personally. Mm-hmm. We're all friends. We've all hung out. And we're just so comfortable with each other. So acting, it's just like, play. Let's play. It's on. I got you. You got me. And so I think it really shows the season where we're getting deep into everyone's character. Mm-hmm. And it really comes out like in that scene.
Yeah. No, I loved that. And I really, going off of that, I agree, because these characters are getting so much deeper and you can see the depth in their eyes.
Yeah.
And there's not much, they don't have to set up the story as much anymore. Not that the last two seasons were that, but now that you're looking back at season three to the previous, you're like, oh, there's so much story that they told. Right. Now we can really tell more about the characters.
Yeah,
and really the story will like unfold around them.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I love him.
Oh, wait, do your pote for us.
I may not be able to shoot a bullet, but I'll take one for you, Teresita.
Oh, that's really good. Can you do the whole live read in a pote?
You want me to do the whole live read in a pote?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm
yes, please.
The whole live read in a pote. Here we go.
This is really cool.
Hola, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because I will shoot them out of the sky. And they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans, for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk, and stay sexy, AfterBuzzers. Bye.
That was insane.
I had to get a little bit of that for my own keeping. I had to be selfish. That was amazing. Good job. I would totally subscribe now. All of you guys, go subscribe right now. Do exactly right now what Pote told you.
Right now.
Go subscribe. And also go and check us out on iTunes as well. Mm-hmm. And give us 5 stars and comment and let them know that Queen of South After Show sent you there.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the actual conversation, though. Okay. Is that it? But going into Cortez and Camila's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Juicy. Okay, I need your all's opinion on this, because from my perspective the last few episodes, it seemed like Cortez was putting his hands in both pots. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm going to play with Camila, I'm going to play with Boaz, and whoever wins out, I'm going to be on the right side of the right team.
Right.
Do you think that that's switched now, and that he's been Team Camila the entire time?
Mm-hmm. I feel like Cortez is on Cortez's side.
And I agree.
He will take, you know, and he sees right now, I mean, he knows that Boaz is, I mean, he's a bonehead. He shows up and he's coked out of his mind and kicking somebody's head across a soccer field.
Which right? was disgusting.
Yeah, but you know, but what else are you going to do?
Cortez also eats humans, so it's like.
That's true. The fact that Cortez got really, like, scared in that moment, I'm like, dude, you just barbecued Batman last season. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
Like, that's like your level of crazy. So,
yes.
Yeah. But when he does it, it's cute. No.
sure, if we call that cute. It's cute.
No. No, but when he does it, it's like more calculated, right? And mm-hmm. it's for a power move. When he barbecued Batman, it was a power
it's
move.
Technical.
It was very against your father, right? Yeah. Right, and if you're in the military, you're also very pragmatic, and mm-hmm. you go with who's going to be your best commander. He knows Boaz is not going to be the best commander. He's too much of a loose cannon. Mm-hmm. So
well, he's his own commander. He's always on the lookout for that.
Cortez,
number one.
Which what my thoughts were is that he would side with both, and whoever fell down, he would end up taking over the throne. On either end. So whoever was winning out, whether it be Boaz or Camila, he would take over for them.
Interesting.
That was what my perception was.
That's what I thought,
too. But they threw me a loop this episode with this whole scenario at the very end where they even planted the photo of Loya and Camila together and then planting the fake mom. Mm-hmm. Which
I was like, what?
That was amazing. I mean, I knew she wasn't going to die.
Yeah.
Did you, though? Because when that was happening...
Clearly,
like,
you didn't think that. I was shocked.
What's really funny is, like everyone on Twitter, because we really do read all of your hashtag Queen of the Souths, was like, oh, we hate Cortez. He's about to double spear Camila. And then they were like, whoa, they were in on it. That twist was crazy. Like, everyone was just so blown away. I was like, yes, we got you.
No, it was great. I mean, you even got yourself with the whole, like, mom, no!
Yeah. They got us.
No, that was great. And I loved the line that she gave the Cortez. Could you not find a better me?
Right?
Short notice.
Dead woman already, for your sake. And still criticizes.
Yep, of course. You for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. You couldn't find a better one?
Yeah.
Sure. No problem. Let me find a better one of you.
Yeah, but so I mean, funny. She was kind of right. Let's be honest. I mean
look she at had it. You look fooled.
No, I mean, I was just...
Yeah,
but afterwards, I mean...
But she didn't have you fold at the end.
No.
Okay, got it. Okay, great. Fantastic. Now we know where you're actually standing.
You got to look at the legs. You got to look at the stems. And those weren't... Yeah.
No, I mean, legs. She's got great legs.
The black...
Yeah.
El velo.
Yeah.
How do you say velo?
The veil?
The veil?
Yeah.
Yes, same word.
No, you can't really tell. Yeah.
But yeah, that was... Even when we were reading it on... For the first time, we were like, oh my god, she's gonna die. Oh no, she's not. What? Like, we're just as surprised as you, because all these twists and turns, mm-hmm. the writers do such a good job to, you know, take us through this ride and to, like, fool us.
Do the writers sit in there when you guys are doing the table read in order to kind of see what works and what doesn't, what needs to be changed and whatnot?
Usually when we're doing the table read, the actors were already in production, so we're reading it in Texas, and they're called in live to L.A., and they're all in LA in the writer's room.
Fantastic.
And we're all communicating.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So do they ever change things last minute, though, on you guys?
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. I mean, not like crazy things, but just they're always trying to get the best script done, and it may take like that week we change it or 2 days before they change it.
Have you ever had one day of?
Yeah, of course.
That's crazy.
Pink pages, blue pages, green pages.
Goldenrod.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Sure.
Every time we get a new script, they color it differently. So then we know that we're all on the same and most updated script. So we start with like pink, blue, yellow, goldenrod, like, so then you know, like, okay, we're in the golden one today, everyone, that's the final one. Or,
Oh, nice.
And it's usually like just like scenes that they'll give you.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just even like words. It's just like they change these two, three words and they have to change the whole color of the script or something. Wow. Yeah.
That's intense. That's cool though.
Super cool.
Well, guys, we've pretty much covered the entire episode. We did. Yeah. Wow. We did. We talked about Cortez. We talked about Boaz. We talked about Camila. We talked about...
What about the tarot? What about the tarot cards and all that with Camila and all of her superstition now? How does that come into play?
Well, I love that last episode's title was more indicative of what this episode is, which is also very like tarot card-ish, is that you're predicting the future.
Yeah.
So again, kudos to the writers for doing that.
I loved that this season they're showing Camila's vulnerable side and seeing how she's actually scared sometimes and she doubts herself, which is such a humanistic way to portray Camila, because we've always seen just like the tough side of her, and now she's like scared. She does tarot readings, like, come on.
Right.
And she's really into them, so I thought that was really cool.
So you think Camila's like actually scared of Teresa? Does she
fear
her?
I think she's just not scared, but like uncertain of what's to come. I mean, everything's been turned upside down, and she's looking for answers in tarot cards.
And I believe she did see the crow right before Epifanio passed. Mm-hmm. So again, it was very much like an omen.
Indicative of what was to come.
Yeah, so I think anytime that happens. But I did love the moment where she took the death card and pinned it up next to Teresa. So it was almost like her challenging death.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to reverse this future of mine. Yeah.
Exactly. Which I like. I think that like... is very, again, humanizing her. Mm-hmm. And I was watching one of the roundtables leading into the Emmys. So congratulations to all those who got Emmy noms. Ooh. Which Queen of the South shouldn't be on there. But, they should have. I don't know why they weren't, but that's okay. But they were talking about how do you play a character that everyone is going to see, like, evil? Mm-hmm. That you think that the audience is going to read evil. And... everyone across the board was like, you have to play them as truthful and as human and as vulnerable as possible. So that people do fall in love with you and trust you, because that makes a better villain.
Of course, yeah.
Or not even a villain, but just like the bad guy, or like depending, some people may see Teresa as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you play the obvious, it's never going to work. Mm-hmm. I remember my first scene or like second scene on the show, the director was like, don't be sad. You're already sad in the lines. Just, like, read into it. What's deeper? And I'm just like, oh, wow, that's crazy. I never even thought about that. Mm-hmm. So now I really try to challenge my character and myself, and everyone on the show just plays the meaty, what's inside, and it's not being evil for Camila. It's what she says, it's legacy for her.
Yeah, because it's all in the words already. Yeah. You guys don't have to play that.
Overplay it, yeah.
Yeah. I loved watching. I mean, I think it really shows with all of you guys. Like, they've done an amazing job casting. What has been your favorite episode that you've been in? Mm-hmm. And what has been your favorite episode that you've watched, whether or not you've been in it?
Oh, my gosh. It's so hard. Because they all melt into one big, like, we
huge feature film.
Yeah. We shoot these nonstop from, like, end of January to beginning of June. So, honestly, it's just, like, one big blob of filming. My favorite episode to watch was like 6 and 7 last season. Was really awesome. 6 was super crazy, written by Ryan O'Nan. And he's so awesome. He's so
King George, for all of you guys that actually watched the show as well and really know all of the writers.
Yeah, King George on the show is actually a writer on the show as well.
Brilliant.
And they were in Colombia, and it was just crazy. And like, dreams and people dying and not really. And then the next episode was written by Jorge Reyes.
Yeah.
And it was so, his words are always so carefully picked and beautiful. And that was the scene that I had with my dad where I was OD'd. And filming that was probably the hardest challenge as an actor, because for a couple of hours, like 4 or 5, I had to act like that, like OD'd. And by the end of that day, I actually felt sick to my stomach, because for so long I was like, you know? So I think that was like the hardest and most beautiful as an actor day, because I was with my dad and he was so vulnerable with me, and like having Joaquin be like so vulnerable with me made me feel so open and available to play that role with him. So that was a great day for me as an actor to film.
What's the best advice that anybody on the set has given you? Because you have so many amazing actors and actresses that have amazing careers,
yeah,
that have worked in this business for years, mm-hmm, that are now your equals and your partners in this. Like, what has been the best advice that they've given you?
I could write a book, honestly. Veronica Falcón is just there next to me every step of the way. Every day on set, she, like, gives me a little bit of her knowledge. I honestly, like, I can't even...
It's like a constant class.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a master really class. You're in a master class.
I guess at the end of the day, they always tell me, you know, like, really love this and take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of actors, especially young actors,
oh, yeah,
get really caught up in the bad side of Hollywood, mm-hmm, or bad reasons as to why to be an actor. And if you truly center yourself and just, like, love the art of it, I don't think you'll get lost.
Right on.
So in not getting, yeah, lost in being yourself.
Who's
amazing advice.
The kids love it. The kids love it. Who's a character that Isabella hasn't had a scene with yet that you would like to...
Bote.
And how would you see that scene going?
Well, I mean, he was my cook, my chef.
Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm, I feel like we have some backstory there. I'm sure he, like, cooked for me as a kid, and so I'm sure I, like, love his food and I love him. Mm-hmm. Even though he's on Teresa's side, I'm sure Isabella loves him.
Deep down. I mean, he's a teddy bear. Like, how, yeah, could you not love him?
Yeah.
Which, they are honestly the nicest people. Like, yeah, I got to meet a couple of them. I got to meet Veronica last season. Mm-hmm. I got out of the car. I don't think you were there for this. When I got out of the car, she was standing outside of the screening. And I got out and I was like, oh my God, that's her. And she runs over and gives me a hug. And was like, oh my gosh, we watch your show every week. And I'm like,
no, really?
What? Like, we watch your show every week. Like, clearly. Like, who are you? And gives me the biggest, warmest hug. And I'm like, she's the nicest person.
Yeah. No, they're all awesome. They're all so cool. We're friends. And they, you know, we, like, really do hang out. Like, they're amazing human
beings. Must be such
a
joy to just go to set, right?
Yeah.
So when did you guys wrap for season?
June?
Mm-hmm.
So recent.
So now you're,
like,
on hiatus.
Like, 1 week before it aired. Or, yeah, like, a week and a half,
wow,
before it aired.
So, and how long's your hiatus? Do you go back?
If we get picked up for season 4, which
if
well,
get me out of that. I will flip tables. I will flip tables. I swear.
Well, when that gets announced, it usually is end of June, end of January. Start filming and finish June.
So it's a nice little break in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well. I think we still have some time. I kind of want to play a game.
All right.
Oh, first I have to say, yes. Hi, Mom. I love you. Aww. She loves AfterBuzz. She watches it also every single day. Like,
no,
every
does
single
she?
Episode.
Really?
Yes, she does.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Yes.
That's so exciting. I love it.
That will never get old. I'm going to be like 40 talking.
You're going to be getting your Oscar.
Getting my Oscar. I'll be like, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. I should be sitting in the audience just,
Yeah.
Has she come to a lot of your, like, screenings and red carpets and things like that?
No, she is the opposite of a stage mom. She's like, do your thing. You know how to handle your business. And she gives me all the space. And I, like, beg her to come on set with me. She's come 2 times. Everyone on set loves her. She, like, buys everyone chocolate and cookies. And she's so cool. But yeah, she really lets me do my thing.
I do love seeing all your Instagram videos with your mom when you guys are dancing.
Yes.
Because you're a dancer.
I am a dancer. People, when I first started, I was mainly known as a dancer.
Oh, so that scene when you were dancing with Kike.
It's totally fake. I know
totally
how to dance.
Totally fake. Okay.
I was like, wait a second. She knows how to dance.
The director was like, can you please actually be worse than that? And I was just like, that's so hard. But yeah.
I don't know how to do that. How do I do that? It's really acting, guys, for her to like be bad at
dancing.
That
was the hardest scene for me.
Does your mom dance as well?
Oh, yeah. She taught me she's cooler. Like, I'm not that cool, but she's like 10 times cooler than me. Like, my friends love her more. Like, they meet me and then they meet my mom. They're like, okay, go to the side. Like,
bye.
Your mom's a cool one. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. I love it. Well, the game we have, we're still fleshing it out a little bit, but it's kind of like, would you rather? The Queen of the South version here.
Okay. Oh my gosh, don't get me in trouble.
So, we're basically going to say a scenario.
Okay.
And we'll give you 2 character options, and you have to pick on whose team would you be.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. So I'm going to give you scenarios from the season thus far.
Okay.
Okay. You're stuck in a bank vault. Uh-huh. Who would you rather have on your team? You can only have one.
Uh-huh.
James or Widow?
Oh.
I'm switching it up now.
Ooh.
James. James. He's a great shooter.
Okay. So you're dealing with Sheriff Mayo. Mm-hmm. Who would you rather be, like, on your team? Would you rather have Pote or James? We'll just throw them actually in.
Pote.
Pote all the way? Pote. Even with the bum hand?
Yeah.
And why?
Oh.
And why?
God?
God.
Because he's so badass. Like, even with...
Even with the busted hand.
Yeah, busted hand. He will take a bullet for you. Mm-hmm. Just like he said in this episode, maybe I might not be able to shoot one, but I'll take a bullet for you. But I'll take one for you.
So I'm going all the way back to season one.
Okay.
You're a mule and you're trying to escape. Okay. Who would you rather help you escape? Mm-hmm. James or Widow?
Widow.
Ooh.
Because he knows the ins and out of, like, the cartel world and stuff. He used to be part of it. And he can fly. Yeah,
so and sure he can fly, true. He can fly. Smart, he can fly. Name that movie. Would you like to throw a question there?
Peter Pan?
Yes, there we go.
There it is.
I was
there
in
is,
that.
There it is. There it is.
Were you?
Yeah. In Houston at Theater Under the Stars.
Oh, that's with cool.
Kathy Rigby. Yeah.
Can we find that footage?
No, it was yeah. No.
We're going to archive it and find it. Go. Question.
Oh, geez. Let's see if I can come up with one.
There's so much.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay, you have to bury a body.
Oh. Oh my God.
Cortez mm-hmm. or Boaz?
Oh, that's a good question.
Boaz.
Why?
Why Boaz?
Because Cortez, even though he's bad and good to the Vargas family, he has helped us out. Boaz has done nothing but, like, dirty his son and shame my name.
Ah, he goes.
Yes.
Who do you think would better survive El Santo, Teresa or Camila?
Teresa.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was seeing, like, if you put Camila in, like, the situation that Teresa was in, do you think that she could get out just as well as Teresa?
No.
Ooh, turn it on your mama.
I know. Sorry. No, I just think that Teresa's character is so, like, open. And she has, like, sangre liviana. I don't know. Like, very transparent. Mm. So even the worst people are like, I like this girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
King George or Pote?
For what?
Don't do this to me. For what?
Just in general.
No. Oh, wow.
Oh, Pote.
Pote over King George?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, last one. Unless you have another one.
I'm trying to think of something. Okay. Who would you rather go shopping at Costco on a Sunday with?
Thank you for saying food, because I hate...
On a Sunday. Okay. In Costco.
I love that. Okay.
Okay. All right. Camila?
Uh-huh.
Or Kellyanne?
Kellyanne. Anything shopping related, Kellyanne.
Always. Yeah. She'll treat you.
Camila would be like, get me all of that. Chop, chop. You know?
For Camila, ooh, Loya or Epifanio?
Loya.
Oh, snap.
2018. Oh, don't look back, Mom. Just go.
Just go forward.
Just go for it.
Ooh, how long is that relationship? Ooh.
I don't know. I know.
Okay, last question, then we'll do predictions.
Okay.
Teresa or Camila?
What? Isabella.
Hey! That's a good answer.
Okay.
I'll let you off the hook for that one.
Thank you.
Because I feel like it would be really hard to choose your mom over, like,
the
queen.
The queen. Right,
the queen, yeah.
Who's eventually going to be the queen. But I don't know. You got some royalty in you, too. So I feel... Are we getting the predictions?
Yeah, let's go.
I actually cut myself and Blue came out, so...
I'm just saying.
Blue came out?
Like, Prince have blue blood?
Yes.
Oh.
It was a bad joke. I'm so bad at
jokes. I was like, wait, I lost that. It just
I caught it. I just, yeah. She may not be the funniest queen, but I think she will be queen one day.
She can be Principessa.
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 There you go.
There it is.
All right, so Principessa. All right. Predictions overall, now that Teresa is part of the Arizona cartel for the time being.
Okay, you know that dude, the other cartel leader, Taz?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say much this episode.
No.
That's the dude to watch out for, who's going to come out and tomahawk somebody. Because I also know that actor, and he's done some other stuff.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. He's pretty badass. Yeah. He's a pretty badass actor. And you don't have an actor like that and just have him in the background for nothing. He's going to come up and do. I think.
You think he's going to be on Teresa's side or no?
I think he's going to be on Teresa's side because I think he wants Pecas' job. Because Pecas is the one who is the head of the cartel, right? The redheaded guy, right? And he's going to sell out Teresa to Camilla. So who's Teresa going to recruit onto her side? Because the whole show is about making the right alliances, right?
Right.
So she needs to make an alliance. She's going to make an alliance with Taz.
I agree with that.
That's my prediction.
Agree.
I'm just trying to zone out so I don't give any facial reactions. I'm
just
to
watching
if you're right
you
or
as
not.
We give it.
I'm just like and? Poker face.
What do you predict, that Idalia?
Nothing.
She's like, I'm out of this game. I also predict, I agree with you completely on that. I do think that Teresa's going to take over Arizona. I think she's going to end up becoming the new leader versus. I think that's going to start like. Because she's so good at negotiations. Mm-hmm. And I also think with her transparency, she's very much on equality. Mm-hmm. So I think with equality and like teamwork comes good leadership. So I think that the other guys on the team will realize that and embrace it. So I think that she may become like the
She's
going to
be the queen
leader.
Of Arizona then.
Yeah, I think so.
That makes sense.
Just my guess. The way that she dealt with Mayo and like... that whole situation, it may not have been the cleanest job, but she did it. She held up her promise. And then to see anyone within the foursome that is like conniving or backstabbing, I think will be refreshing for the other team members, I think. To weed out the weasels.
I agree. I also predict that we have not seen the last of Mayo. I mean, he may be in a coma, but that character is like too rich to just, you know... throw in a draw somewhere. Oh, he's in a coma. All he's not dead. He's just in a coma. Just saying.
I do see the Camila and Loya relationship going a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just watching your face to see what we get.
I see a little brother or a little sister in Isabella's future.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Wow.
That would be a twist.
I mean, that would be a big twist. I think Loya is going to switch over to the dark side. I think he's going to become like he's already kind of playing within the cartel. I think that he's going to end up playing a little bit more, dabbling more,
well, he's like
and play the double entendre between the DEA and her.
Yeah.
Entendre. Oh,
you think he's going to start feeding her information from the DEA?
Oh yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, when love is involved, the enemy of
facial expression whatsoever. She's just like. Mm-hmm.
The enemy of her is my enemy. Right. So if he's with Camila, whoever she doesn't like, he better not like. Mm-hmm. Or he better get out of the bed.
Yeah.
Real quick. So I'm interested to see that relationship. And I still don't trust Cortez as far as I can throw him.
No.
I still think that he's playing both sides. And then this episode, Camila won out. I still think he's got his hand a little bit more in Boaz.
Yeah, he's got something up his sleeve.
Boaz is too dumb for him not to be like, I'm going to play with this and make some money off of it. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. Those are my predictions right now. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's see if they're right. If they're right, I'm texting you next week and being like, look, I was right.
What else? What else is happening?
Well, I think that pretty much
wraps it up,
guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you for watching and being so awesome and doing this every week.
We're really super fans.
We love seeing this.
Well, we love you guys, and you guys are awesome. And where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me on @idaliavalles_.
Yes, and please go follow her. And guys, be sure to go and subscribe to YouTube. Follow all of us on AfterBuzz and subscribe on iTunes. Again, my name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media @CandaceRCruz.
I am Jorge Bayo, and you can follow me on all my social media at The El Jorge, and catch me on Tuesdays at on the 100 panel.
Woo! Awesome.
Yeah, cool.
All right, sounds good. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.